I want to take a moment to tell you a little bit about Pixelwick. Pixelwick is a Renaissance festival unlike any other. Pixelwick allows you to enjoy all the fun of a Renaissance fair from the comfort of your own home. Shopping with your favorite Ren Faire vendors, live performances from great entertainers, wacky hijinks with the inhabitants of Pixelwick, and the company of your friends. So make sure to check it out. Performances in February as well as March. If you need more information, please go to pixelwick.com. That's www.pixelwyck.com.
Fearscape Media Network. Exploring the unknown. One podcast at a time.
Hi, friends. This is Kelly with Wishful Drinking and Binge Thinking, the podcast where I get just absolutely hammered and I dole out psychological advice. That's right, I am going to be more drunk than that girl you met in the bar bathroom after your karaoke set who said, "You have such good stage presence, oh my god." That's right, zero preparation, multiple drinks, countless profound gems. Tune in the last Monday of every month on Fearscape Media Network.
Welcome, everyone, to Unsensitive, a show where we take a subject, talk with an expert, and break it down with questions that might be normally too impolite to ask. I am your host, Ray Robinson. And when we were young, many of us were taught that sexual thoughts were bad or impure. Maybe you were told when you get older, and that day just never materialized. Maybe you were well into your adulthood before some hard truths were finally revealed, or worse, they never were. How would you even know how to learn if you don't know what questions to ask? This is the basic concept of the book, Expose Your Inner Diva, by our guest, author and erotic poet, Ray Monet. Ray Monet, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about, first of all, obviously, let's just talk mainly about Expose Your Inner Diva. Tell us about the book, where it came from, and the concept. Is it just something that you've been developing over time? Is it something that just came out of a flash that you realized, oh, people need to know this, and you just dumped all your expert material into it? Tell us a whole lot more about that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the book Expose Your Inner Diva is a lot different from my other books because, you know, again, I'm a poet, I'm an erotic author. So it's a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I actually got my copies in today. So I'm very, very excited about that. They look beautiful. But it has definitely been a labor of love. I've been working on this book for almost 2 years, which is crazy compared to the amount of time I've been working on my others. So it's definitely been a lot longer of a process, but it really is meant to help my readers, like the people who listen to my poems and my work, because they are the ones who come up to me, you know, after the shows or after reading the book, and they say, like, oh my gosh, this resonated with me in this level, or I never knew, you know, such a thing before, and I really need to know more about this. And I really wanted to give those people a place to start. A place to start to kind of go through their own personal background and be able to suss out, like, what are the things that are sexually holding me back? Like, what are my sexual hangups? Why do I have those? Where did they come from? How do I change what's happening with that and really make it into something that is going to work in my favor, that's going to give me, like, my best sex life, right? And not only, of course, is it going to help to give you your best sex life, but it actually helps in other ways. Like, let's say that maybe the thing that you want is confidence in the bedroom. If you get confidence in the bedroom, you're going to have some confidence outside of the bedroom too. Mm-hmm. So it's going to help on more level than just one, but really it's a handhold to kind of walk through your past and see, like, what are these things that are holding me back, and how can I just use them to my advantage? How can I get over them?
One of the things that we had talked about beforehand a little bit is on sex education. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is a very prominent teaching is abstinence only. And I think a lot of that, I don't know if it, I've been out of school for quite a while myself. So when I was kind of taught sex ed, it was like the 1 year I didn't go to a Catholic school. So I probably got a different sex education than the other kids that I went to Catholic school with. But it was very, I want to say detailed, but then in reality, when you get older, you realize, no, it was not very detailed. And of course, yeah. This for me, it was like 30 plus years ago. So things are very different from back then. Tell us a little bit about the problems that come up with abstinence only education and the current ways that sexual education is taught.
Oh, yeah, that's really big bundle, yeah. Unfortunately. Abstinence-only education really is just like, oh, just no sex. Just avoid it. It's not a thing that's happening in your life. And that's as if to say, walk outside. There aren't cars. There aren't buses. Motorcycles don't exist. When if your ass walks into the street, you'll get run over. Okay? Like, sex is a part of life. It's a part of life for everyone. And I don't think that people really realize how much of an impact it plays in every part of our lives. It's not just, oh, your current relationship. It impacts your finances, right? Because do you have kids? Do you have to pay for those kids? Did you get an STD? Do you have to pay for medicine? You know, it's not just children, you know, it's, you know, how does this affect our economy, our GDP? How does it affect, oh, well, I had, you know, sex with the neighbor, Bob. He's actually the father of our kids. What? Now there's a domestic, dispute. And now there's police involved. It affects everything. And people try to act as if sex is just this, you know, this amazing thing. And it only happens when you're in love. And it's not true. It's not. And there are so many just components to sex, to the emotional, kind of pieces of sex as well that we just don't tell kids about at all. And I think that not giving them that information is the most detrimental thing. We are sending them into the world fundamentally unprepared. And it's so scary because the unprepared ones are the ones who are the most unprepared. They are the ones who, you know, end up having the kids young, right? Who end up getting the STDs. The crazy people who go out into the world with HIV, they know that they're positive and they continue to spread it. Mm. There are people like that in the world. And they just think that, no, like, if I don't believe it, it won't exist. That's not true. You know, and it's hard to believe sometimes, but you'll have people who, you know, maybe it's your cousin or Pookie from down the street or, you know, your boss at work, and they tell you some misinformation and you believe it. You take it as gospel. You don't, you know, you don't read a book. You don't do any of your own research and you just believe whatever they say. Now you go out into the world with this false belief and then you spread it to other people. And then we just have a whole mess on our hands and it's impossible to clean up. It's impossible to clean up because we haven't given anyone information still. So it's very, I just think, fundamentally irresponsible to have abstinence only education. And it's because adults are scared. And I understand that you're afraid. And I understand all of the implications and all of the things that you're introducing into the lives of your child. But I also believe that if you introduce sexual education incrementally, that little by little, they will understand. Just like with their ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, how to read, you know? You do it little by little, just like you're teaching them. This is your hand. This is your foot. This is your vagina. This is your penis. Tell them what it actually is. Mm-hmm. You know, they're 23 talking about, don't touch my no-nos. What? Girl, get on my bed. You know?
One of the things that typically comes up when I have topics on here of a sexual nature is the impact that modern media has on people's education. One of the things I've just noticed over the years is that sex as represented on television becomes this end-all be-all monolithic thing when it comes to relationships. And then in reality, you come to find out it's not always that. It's just the next step. And then there's still steps after that. How much disinformation do you think is out there when it comes that spread just from television shows, from movies on how people treat sex?
As far as how they treat sex, mm-hmm. I don't think there's a huge ton of misinformation. And I'll say that because we frequently see sex treated pretty irresponsibly. Just kind of on the whole, I think that's what all of these shows are based off of, is the sexual, you know, web that you can connect between all of these characters that will connect and create the most drama to keep the most eyes on the screen, you know? And unfortunately, kind of happens in real life sometimes. You know, so I don't think that it's necessarily portrayed that way. I think that one big miss that, the television is making that I have been seeing a little of an appearance more lately is the indication of condoms, you know? I mean, that's almost never a conversation that's had. And I am always so excited when I see a scene like that, where they have to kind of negotiate that, and where there's maybe the person who's just like, it's whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, it's not whatever. Could you go to the dresser or wherever you got to go, please? Like, you know, and showing a character being responsible, because I think that that's another part, a really big part of sexual education that's missing. We're always telling people, be abstinent. How are you going to be abstinent if you don't know the way to say no? If you've never seen an example of that, how are you going to be able to then, you know, put that out into the world? How are you going to be confident in the world when you have to do it? It's one of those things that I would like to see more of. But, you know, I really think the irresponsible side just kind of comes down to like the memes. And those memes that you'll see that just have horrible information in them. And then you'll also the Facebook conversations. Like, I know number one rule of the internet is never go into the comments. And I know I should pay attention to this, but I have to know what people are thinking so that I know what stuff to tell them is right or wrong. You know what right. I mean? And it infuriates me every time. Oh my gosh, the things that people say. You know, you might even hear someone say, like, or a popular one is that a woman can be like overused, like she can be stretched out because, oh, she's had so many partners or sex so often. Or, honey, we have babies, okay? That's 10 whole centimeters. Your dick is not that, okay? And it'll close right back up. Like, I don't understand where these crazy concepts come from. You know, it's just another way to try and disparage women. And that, of course, is like the crux of everything, right? Like, let's take down women a peg on like everything that we try to do. But no, like, it's a brand new day. It's 2021. Women are not being taken down. Trump is out of office, so facts are coming back into fashion. Like, let's just be real. You know, so let's talk about like what the facts are and make sure that people are going into this next century, you know, and being properly, you know, properly informed about what's going on, not only with their bodies, but so that they know what's up with their partner as well. Like, how much happier would people be if they could understand their partners a little bit better, right? Like, mm-hmm. Everybody wants that. And some of that starts with basic sex education.
You had mentioned early on that this book is much different than some of your other writings. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about some of your other writings and the differences between that and Expose Your Inner Diva.
Oh, Oh, yeah. So Exposure Inner Diva, and I think I definitely missed out on this point in the very beginning. It is a workbook. So you as the reader are meant to go through, like, it's really lovely. And I know, you know, it's audio, but I still want to scroll through it for you because, like I said, I just got my copies today, so I'm very excited. But like, I've got little pictures in here, like you can go through and you fill out all of these questions that are just about you as a person. And then look at that. We even have graphs inside that teach you basic sex education as well. Like, it's really, really awesome to like just behold. And I think that, you know, again, going through that workbook and working through that stuff yourself is going to be just so, so helpful to so many people. Now, it's so different from my other books because four of them are erotic poetry books. And that is how I got into the writing game at all. In my childhood, unfortunately, I had to go through like a lot of sexual misconduct. You know what I mean? And I dealt with like just a lot of really crappy stuff. Thankfully, nothing at the hands of my own family members, but like it was massive for me. It was overwhelming. So I started writing poetry in order to kind of get through all of those feelings and work through and sort through them myself. And that's how these books came about, because it wasn't just, let me write down sexy stuff. It's let me write down sexy stuff that is also going to teach you something in the end. Is it going to be, oh, that we had sex and it was a beautiful night and it led to this flourishing, lovely relationship? Or is it going to be, we had sex without being in a relationship. Now, afterwards, I'm trying to ask you what we are, but you don't really want to answer that question. So now we're in a fight and now I'm texting you and you won't answer back. That happens too, right? Yep. So all of these poems, they kind of play out different, you know, different pieces of the sexual spectrum, the sexual emotional spectrum. And it kind of gives you a really great idea of the other ways that sex is going to impact you in your life. Like, because I really just want to drive that point home that it's never just sex.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now we talked before everything started here a little bit about some of your mini projects, and one of those does include painting. So tell us a little bit about your paintings. How do they tie in with the book in any capacity, or is that something that that is additional to you as a creative person?
Well, definitely both. I have actually painted the covers of two of my books so far. No, I'm sorry. That's right. It is three. Mm-hmm. I'm a crazy person. I looked directly at them and could not count. I've painted the covers for three of my books so far. I'm actually working on the painting for a book that I'm about to drop next month. Actually, I'm a crazy person. I cannot keep projects in my hands. So as soon as I'm done with them, I release them out to the world. I'm like, it's your baby now. You take it, you know, somebody buy it because I can't keep it here. So I definitely do a lot of paintings for the covers, but all of my paintings are, they have eroticism in them. They have biblical themes. They have planetary, celestial themes that are going to be in there as well. Those are things that you're very often going to see repeated there, and not just there. It's in all of my work. That's it. I guess it's just who I am. Mm-hmm. But it is a really, really fun hobby, and it's really relaxing. And I need a lot of relaxation. I'm a mom of a toddler, so I need as much of that me time and that, what do they call it now, self-care. Mm-hmm. I need as much of that as I can get.
One thing I like to ask every author is, how did you know the book was actually done?
Oh, that's a great question. It's when the message is complete. What I do is I have poems from my childhood, like all the way up till now. Every scrap of paper that I write, if I have a thought and I write it on the back of a receipt, I still have that receipt to this day, okay? So what I do is, you know, to start a book, maybe I'll have a premise of something that I want to teach within that book. I'll pull out poems. I will kind of, you know, just say, okay, what fits this general theme? you know, and I'll set those down. Then I'll go through and I'll edit those poems based on like who I am right now and the message that I want to get across. So even though I might have a poem from fifth grade, obviously I'm not going to publish my fifth grade poem. I'm going to turn it into my fifth grade thoughts, you know, filtered through the lens of this 30-year-old person. Like, what was the thing that I was trying to say? How can I make it, you know, adjustable for audiences today? And then once I get to the end of those things, I'll have, you know, a nice pile of poems, right? And I'll sort through those and I'll put them in order until they tell a story, until they give me a narrative. And if that narrative isn't finished, then I look for the piece that is going to finish it off. And I really just try to give a full and complete, you know, narrative. Like it has to be a story. Mm-hmm. I'm a storyteller. So each poem is an individual story, but that entire book should also be cohesive in its themes and the pieces that are inside as well.
Now, you'd also mentioned that you talk with people after your events. Tell me about these events. What are they about? And do you have any that are like forthcoming? I know probably there's not a whole lot of gatherings still with the COVID virus going on, but I'm sure that that's since the vaccines are starting to become more widely distributed, people are hoping that that changes soon. But tell us a little bit about those events and what they entail.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, I do all kinds of events. I will be at a women's shopping day, you know, just where they have all the tables with the vendors. Ladies will be selling purses on one side and jewelry on the other side. And I'm like, hey, come here and look at this book. So I will definitely do those. I perform for like private corporate events. So, you know, like their fundraisers or, you know, their end of year gala and stuff like that. I do like local shows, like the chocolate covered Rocky Horror Picture Show I've done recently, which was really fun. Mm-hmm. And I also produce my own events, one of which is coming up on February 13th. It's called For Couples Only. So For Couples Only is my way of bringing sex ed directly to the public. And basically what we do is we have three professionals come and they will do, you know, they'll do presentations that will inform the public on, you know, three specific topics, and the topics change every show. The ones for February 13th are intro to edging, intro to toys, and intro to orgasms. And then we also have a sword swallower, burlesque dancer, comedians, erotic poets, of course. And we just have an incredible time. I mean, we have an awesome time. And like I said, the most important thing is that people are able to leave this show and they can have three tips at minimum from each professional that they can go home and do that night. Mm-hmm. Like I want people leaving my show and knocking boots, okay? But, you know, if you're going to do it so that both of you guys are informed, that there's real informed consent there. Do it so that both of you are safe and that you know what you're doing. You know what I mean? And so that both of you can actually have fun, you know, and really just let yourself go and just give over to that feeling. So that's the most important thing to me. And I'm so excited about it. And I love, love, love meeting like my fans and just all of the people who benefit from the things that I'm doing, because I love to hear from them and just hear like their impressions and their opinions of what's happening.
Excellent. And one other thing I wanted to make sure to bring up is you had mentioned something about the homeless initiative that that you're a part of. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, I'm so, so excited. This was an idea that was brought to me by a friend. This was not something that I thought of on my own, but I definitely want to give Nia G a little shout out there, because she helped me in a really big way. This is an effort, you know, again, taking sex ed to the streets. Like, that's what I'm about. If you're not going to teach in a school, I will do it by myself and make it happen. So I've started amassing volunteers. We are working with the homeless shelters as well as the halfway houses in Washington, D.C. We're looking to expand to PG County soon as well. And we are going to have our first set of sessions this March. So we are actually going through the process now of getting all of our volunteers together, getting our training sessions going. And this is going to be a really big and really helpful initiative. Because like I said, it's the people who, you know, who don't have that education, who don't have that information, who are affected negatively the most. And we don't want that to happen. Like, you've got enough happening right now. Hell, I've got enough happening right now. And we don't need any more, you know, we don't need any more poor decisions. We need to be thinking in a measured way, like using our best options and really getting out there and starting to live our best lives. And that starts with having the best information.
Oh, what I love about that is that when people think of sex education, they think of something that you teach high schoolers. But there's so many adults that have had zero any kind of education at all on how to handle a relationship, much less sex. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you're going to people that that wouldn't be able to take a class or even necessarily buy a book because they can't even afford rent, that is very important. And it's probably a sector of people that others wouldn't have thought of to begin with. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing to hear about. So tell us a little bit more again. More specifically, where people can find out more information about all your projects, your books, your paintings, the Homeless Initiative, everything.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really easy to find online. No matter where you go, it doesn't matter if it's the Google search bar, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those things. You can find me under the name at Poet Rae Monet. So that's PoetRaeMonet. And you'll be able to also, of course, find links to the For Couples Only events if you're interested in that. Once we do get a little bit more information together on the Homeless Initiative, we'll be posting links up on that, you know, under that as well. And for the books, you can also go to our short link, which is bit.ly/PoetRaeMonet. So same thing all the time. Easy, easy, easy.
Excellent. Well, Rae Monet, love the conversation here today. You bring a lot to the table as far as what people can learn. And that's just really a big part of what I'm trying to do here is to give people reasons to listen to things that they may not actually even know that they need knowledge on. And this is one area that I think a lot of folks like to kid themselves that they know everything about and they don't. And here I am at 50 still learning things myself. And so thank you so much for bringing all this out and for your efforts to educate folks that that either need it or don't need it, but think that they do, and people that do need it, but don't think that they think they may have all of it settled out. So you're covering all the spectrum, and that is such a wonderful thing. Thank you so much for your efforts.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Seriously, I really enjoyed the conversation as well. And I hope we get to do it again sometime in the future. That'd be great.
Absolutely. And now, as I like to do every time with every episode, I like to issue a challenge to our listeners. If you also have a subject that you're passionate about, like Rae Monet here, and you can speak with authority on it, and you're not afraid to tackle some of the tough questions that could come your way, then I want to talk to you here on Unsensitive. So reach out to us through the Farscape Media Network or write me directly at RaeRobWrites@gmail.com. And a special thanks to Ben Sounds for the use of the song Happy Rock. And of course, the fine folks at Fearscape. Thank you for listening to Unsensitive. We'll talk again soon. And until then, keep your mind open.